Acts chapter number 3. We are continuing our study in this wonderful book of the Bible. Let me encourage you to continue to be in church as we study God's word together. Acts chapter number 3. And let's look at verses 1 to 11 this morning. Acts chapter number 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, every single event, every single truth is recorded in your word for a specific purpose. And Lord, we know that there are many things that could not be written. So Father, we ask you'd help us to take heed to what is written for our learning, for our Christian growth. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here this morning that has yet to receive Christ as their Saviour, that has not yet experienced the full forgiveness of sin and the wonderful salvation that you provide. Father, I pray that this would be the day that they understand the gospel and call out to Jesus Christ as Saviour. Lord, we pray for your power this morning in the preaching of your word. Father, we pray that, Lord, this would not be a work of the flesh. Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God, he would teach us your word. That he would revive us and stir us once again, Lord, to be your witnesses. And Father, we pray that you would help us this morning to bring honor and glory to you as we give you our full attention and a willingness and openness of heart to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Acts chapter 3 is a turning point in the book of Acts, you might say, because now we face and come head to head with the first public miracle of the apostles. Here we see the account of the healing of the lame man at the gate of the temple. Now, as we begin, just briefly, we need to ask the question about this subject of miracles. Why did healing miracles happen? Why did God choose to record them in the Word of God? Well, if you turn back to John chapter number 20, a few pages back, John chapter number 20, notice what John wrote in John chapter 20 in verse 31. Thank you for turning there. Notice verse 31. John 20 verse 31, he says, well, back up to verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, including the miracles, including the wonders and the amazing signs that the Lord displayed. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, every miracle in the Gospels is just like every miracle in the book of Acts. They are given and displayed and performed for a reason. And there is one reason for the miracle that we'll look at this morning, so that those witnessing the miracle would have no other explanation than this. This is an act of God. This is an act that only God could do, thereby leading them to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, it's no coincidence that John records the first miracle by the Lord Jesus Christ, the first public miracle that we see in the Gospels, is the Lord healing a lame man in Jerusalem. Now, his first miracle was transforming water into wine at the wedding feast. But as a larger scene miracle in Jerusalem, do you remember the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda? And here we see with the apostles, the first public miracle on a large scale where there were many witnesses was likewise the healing of a lame man in Jerusalem. You see, miracles were a sign to the Jews. They were a sign to bring them to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to prove that the claims of Christ are true. And as John said, that believing you might have life through his, say it, name. You see, it's all about who Jesus Christ is. So therefore, the title of our message this morning is this: the power of Christ's name. The power of Christ's name. And we see three lessons this morning back in Acts chapter 3. Let's turn back there. Acts chapter 3. Now, by way of introduction, notice verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, that's interesting. They weren't meeting in a home. They weren't meeting with the church. They were going where to pray? They were going to the temple. Now, we're reminded once again that the book of Acts is a book of transition. Let me say that again. The book of Acts is a book of transition. Do not make your doctrines from the book of Acts. They are there, and we compare them to the epistles in the New Testament. But we cannot say that miraculous physical healing is for today. Just like the Old Testament, believers worshipped in the temple, believers were going through a transition from the Old Testament law to the New Testament grace in Christ. Worship in the temple was still taking place, but it would then transfer to the local New Testament church. You see, it's a book of transition, just like these miraculous healings. They had a place and a purpose and were significant, but only during a specific time, young people. They are not for today. Just like there were many different transitions, likewise, miraculous healing is not in effect today by the apostles or by other believers laying on of hands, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There has been, the faith has spread throughout the nations, and we have the Word of God to teach us that Christ is the Savior. But what do we learn this morning from this wonderful example? Well, notice first of all in your Bibles, we see a poor beggar. A poor beggar. That's the first thing we see this morning. A poor beggar. Notice with me in verse number 2. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, children, you would have remembered this story from Sunday school. The apostles Peter and John went to the temple, and there they met a lame man. Now, that means his legs weren't working. His ankles were disabled. From birth, he couldn't walk. He didn't have the strength in his legs. Somehow, the bones in his ankles did not come together. So everywhere he wanted to go, he had to be carried. He was a lame man. And specifically, God tells us, he was a man that was lame from his mother's womb. He was born that way. He was a disabled man. And as we look at his example this morning, we see an important picture. You see, in this account of the book of Acts, this lame man is a picture of every man, of every person and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. You see, you might be able to walk this morning. You might be able to use your feet and your knees. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, I'm nothing like this lame man." Well, yes, we are. There is one thing we have in common. that you and I were all born with a horrible, disabling disease. And the Bible tells us of that in the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5, please turn with me there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. This man was lame from his mother's womb, from his birth. And notice what the Bible tells us of the disease we are born with. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For as by one man, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, the Bible tells us that we may be able to walk this morning, but there is a worse condition than being disabled. And that is the disease of sin within. See, the Bible tells us about our forefathers, about where we came from as mankind. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis about the first man and the first woman. And sadly, Adam sinned against God. And sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so we read this morning, "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And you might say this morning, "Well, that's not fair that Adam sinned and I bear the consequences." Well, remember also, not only are we sinners by nature, we are born with a sin nature, but we are sinners by choice. We are sinners twice over. You see, when you tell a lie, that's a sin against God. And guess what? You can't blame Adam for that. That's a choice that you made in your conscience that God gave you. You knew it was wrong, but yet you and I have all told lies before. And God says that lying is a sin. And though we may not want to admit it, perhaps, sin is a much worse disease than any physical ailment that we could have. And we are all born sinners from our mother's womb. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that before Christ, before we put our faith in Christ, we are all dead in our sins and trespasses. That means our spirit is dead. That's why we're born into the world and we do not know God. Have you ever thought about this fact before? God made us, but we don't know Him. His existence is obvious around us by His own creation, but mankind can say today that there is no God. Why? Because that connection between man and God was severed, was cut off because of sin. Why are there atheists in the world? Because we are born cut off from God. We do not have a relationship with God. And the Bible tells us that only by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can we experience the forgiveness of sins and the reuniting with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, this man was a disabled man, and sin is a disabling disease. Notice next, he was a desperate man in verse number 2. He was a desperate man. How do we know he was desperate? Because not only was he lame, he couldn't walk, but he was also poor. Because he was a lame man, he was also poor. This man lived in poverty. In fact, he was so poor, the only way that he could make a means of living was to beg for those whom he knew to carry him every day to the temple. Can you see the picture we're given in the scriptures this morning? He was a desperate man. How do we know that he was actually desperate? Because the Bible says he was laid at the temple gate, how often? Daily. Doesn't that tell you something? It tells us that every day he made enough money just for that day. Maybe he didn't even make enough money for that day, because the next day, the very next day, he had to be brought back. Day after day after day, desperately he went to the temple. And in fact, he asked everyone that he could find. Even when Peter and James came through the gate, strangers to him, he asked them for money. Every day he had to be carried home. And every day he went home disappointed. Why? Because he had to go back the very next day. This man was a desperate man. He lived a miserable existence. And brethren, without the Lord Jesus Christ, our existence is miserable. And you can say amen. Our existence without Jesus Christ is miserable. For if we live in sin and we die in our sins without God's forgiveness, friends, we are in a desperate situation with a catastrophic ending. There are many people today that think that, well, I know I don't know God and I haven't received Jesus Christ as my Savior, but hey, tomorrow's another day. Maybe things will be better tomorrow. Maybe I'll make a new resolution this year to pick myself out of this hole of sin and of wrong and of guilt and shame. Maybe I can improve my own life. You can go to any bookstore in town today and you can find half a dozen self-help books which tell you that you have the power within to change your own life. And the flesh loves that because it boosts up our pride and says, yeah, because I don't love myself enough, that's why I'm not happy, that's why I'm not successful, that's why I'm sick. And if I just lift myself up tomorrow, then I'll be fine. And you see, this lame man, he could have thought that too. He could have thought, maybe I'll go to the temple the next day and I'll make a killing. Maybe I'll get a lot of money the next day. Maybe one day I'll hit the jackpot. Maybe when he looked up at Peter and John and thought, maybe these are the ones that are going to land a whole bag of money in my lap so I can enjoy the rest of the year. You see, in this lame man, we see a picture of sinful man. You see, he was desperate. And the hope of another day is no hope at all. The Bible says that we are spiritually bankrupt as sinners. There is no way we can buy our way into heaven. There is no way we can work off our sins by trying to perform good works. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we have earned. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice thirdly, he was a disappointed man. He was a disappointed man. Again, in Acts chapter 3, we learn some lessons about this man. That people would carry him to the temple, and perhaps they were his friends. If they had to do it every day, perhaps we could assume it was the same group of people. Maybe his neighbours, maybe his friends. They could give him a lift to the temple, but they would leave him begging. Can you see the picture? His friends could not help him. The religious crowd at the temple could not help him. Why? Because they were just as desperate and disappointed as he was. You see, the religion of the day in Jerusalem was a dead religion. They had rejected Jesus Christ the Savior, and not one of the religious Jews could help this lame man. Could not only give him physical hope, but they could not give him any spiritual hope. And that's the deadness of the religious world today. There are many churches today that are simply dead religions, where people are trying to work off their sins, where people are going to church thinking that just by attending church, just by singing and praying and perhaps even giving money and putting it in the bag when it comes around, that sort of thing will make them right with God. But friends, that is not what the Bible says. In fact, if that's the path that we choose to get to God, we'll be just as disappointed and just as sad as this picture of this disappointed man. See, others cannot lift our sin debt for us. Others cannot wash away our sins. What can wash away our sins? The hymn writer said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, it's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that lifts our disappointment into a place of joy and leaping and wonder and amazement. But this lame man was disappointed. Friends, you can go to church as much as you want. That will not help you to attain forgiveness and favour with God. No, we are Christians because our faith is founded in a Messiah named the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is a relationship with God. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. And it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to save the soul. Let me ask you this morning. Are you like this lame man? Are you still dead in your sins and trespasses?
In church, we hear about God. But the question is, do you have a relationship with God based upon a time that you chose to repent of your sin, turn in your heart by faith to Jesus Christ as Savior, and ask Him to forgive you once and for all? Have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for full forgiveness through His blood sacrifice on the cross? Has there been a time? Or are you still disabled from birth? Are you still disappointed with your life of faith? You see, it's only when we come to Jesus Christ the Savior can we experience the wonderful forgiveness of sin, and we can be made whole in our hearts. Have you received the Lord? Now, if you're not sure, if you're wondering if you have, let me encourage you to speak to someone this morning. Now, church is not a place that can save you, but if you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we can be the ones to lead others to the Savior who can. Amen? To the Savior who can save. Praise God. And if we are a Christian and we have received Jesus Christ as Savior, we may not be like this poor beggar, but who we do need to be like is these prepared witnesses. Here in Acts chapter number 3, the poor beggar pictures the sinner. Peter and John picture the soul winners. If you're a Christian, this is who we need to be like. You know, we are helpless to save a soul, but we can bring that one to the Christ who can. To the Christ who can. Look with me in Acts chapter number 3. The Bible tells us that as Peter and John went to the temple, first of all, they noticed the man. They noticed him. Now, according to Acts chapter number 4 and verse 4, the Bible tells us that there were thousands of people at the temple that day. They weren't just a small group, thousands of people. The Bible tells us here in the book of Acts that there were no less than 9 gates surrounding the temple. This particular man sat at the gate Beautiful, but there were 8 others. And that needless to say, points to the fact that there were other beggars at other gates, that there were other desperate people in need, begging for alms of those who went into the temple to worship, those who travelled through the temple. But Peter and John, the Bible says in verse number 4 of chapter 3, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." You see, Peter and John noticed the man. Among the multitudes, they noticed one person. They noticed one person in need. They noticed one person who had need of the Savior. And here we see a picture of the soul winner, the faithful witness for Christ, going out to meet the needy, to meet those who need the Lord Jesus. And what a wonderful example for us as Christians. Can you see that Peter was not alone? He was with John. They went out 2 by 2. That's why on Wednesdays and on Saturdays when we go door knocking, we go out 2 by 2. And that's the principle. We go out together. But the key is going out. We need to be out there. So often we expect God to bring them in. And yes, He does do that also. But more so, He wants us to go out. You see, Peter and John left the fellowship where they were meeting before in chapter 2. They left the place where they prayed together with other believers. They were going out and they were prepared to meet the lost and needy. But even more than that, they were prepared to meet the one. Isn't that a wonderful example? Just like adults, we learned about Andrew this morning, the apostle. He was willing just to reach one at a time. These apostles were looking for one. You say, how did they know which one to go to? That's a good question, isn't it? Sometimes you and I are the same. We're overwhelmed by the multitudes around us. There are people everywhere. Doesn't matter where you go. There are people everywhere. How do we know whom the Lord wants us to go to? Well, thank God Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is in the Bible. That ye shall be witnesses unto me when, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you and I are prepared in our hearts, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and we pray and simply ask the Lord, Lord, lead us to whom you would have us to meet, we can be like Peter and John. We will see the one in need. You see, they saw this lame man out of all the others that sat there. Why? Because this man, in the will of God, was going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why as believers, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. We need to not only go out there and meet them, but we need to be people of prayer, asking the Lord in His power to lead us to that right person. Amen. When we go on the plane, asking in God's power to sit us next to someone that we can give an invitation to, that we can talk to. God has the power to do the miraculous. Is that right? God has the power to put someone next to you in your workplace, perhaps, that God has put right there for you to witness to. And we need to be filled with faith and prayer and expectation that God will bring people into our lives specifically for you and I to tell them about the Savior. But isn't it true so often than not we go out of our front doors totally unprepared in our hearts, thinking that no one will listen, thinking that we cannot do anything for God, and we cut ourselves off from every opportunity because we simply don't see that man, that woman, that teenager as the one that God would have us to meet, to witness to. They not only noticed the man, they noticed his need. Now, as the lame man saw Peter and John and heard them say, "Look on us," what do you think he was expecting from them? Absolutely. Notice verse number 5 and 6, Acts chapter 3. Verse 5, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." He was looking forward to some money. What are they going to give me? What can they give me? Well, these two men had something valuable to offer this lame man, didn't they? But it was not what he expected at all. "Then Peter said unto them," verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." The apostles were not lying, by the way. They didn't have any money. If you look in the previous chapter, they gave everything to those in need in the church. So as they went to the temple, they had nothing to give. This is not a lie. But money was not what this man needed the most. And let me say, those who are in our community, who perhaps may be begging, who perhaps are in need of financial help, friends, that is not their greatest need. The greatest need is the need of their soul. And Peter and John knew that. They went out from the place of worship with the church to the temple, knowing that the greatest need of man is the need of their soul. And they had something much, much, much more valuable than money to fill this man's belly. But they had the precious message of salvation, which was able to save his soul forever. Now, brethren, as we seek to be God's witnesses in this day, we need to remember that you and I have the most precious thing, the most precious possession to share with people around us. The most valuable possession of all, much greater than silver, much greater than gold, is the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of our Savior. The fact that He saves once and for all. The fact that He died, He was buried, and He rose again from the dead is the truth that has the power to save. And that's what ought to encourage us this morning. As we go out into the world, friend, God has already given you what you need to witness. He's already given you the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We must be filled with His presence. He's already given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just need to tell others. But like Peter and John, we need to see the need of those around us as not just physical, but spiritual. We need to see people as they are, in their need. Is that right? Not just people at work who have other needs. Everyone has needs. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying those needs are meaningless or not important. But the most important need of a person's life and soul is what you and I know. They may not know that, but guess what? We have the inside view. Do we not? And they may not know the greatest need of their soul. They may not be expecting you to give them a tract or present the gospel when they ask for help, just like this lame man. But that's exactly what we need to do. We need to tell them what their greatest need is and who is the one that can meet that need. Christian, do you see people in their need, the need of their soul? When you go out of your front door in the morning, do you ask the Lord to lead you to someone in need? And are you mindful of their need? You might say this morning, I can't be a witness. That's not true. That's not true at all. You know what their greatest need is. Though they may argue or differ with you, it doesn't change the fact that only Jesus Christ can meet the need of their soul. They noticed the man. They noticed his need. Notice they told him Christ's name. There in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, here is the most precious possession, the most precious truth they could have shared with this man. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And brethren, such as we have, we can give to every single person in the city of Kansas. Amen. Such as we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can give to others this week. You can tell someone this week. And by the way, don't get confused. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not where we stop in our witness. We don't go around just telling people his name and walk away. That's not what the Bible's teaching here this morning. Remember where they're witnessing. They are witnessing in Jerusalem. This lame man knew who this one was from Nazareth that was crucified. He had heard, perhaps he had even seen what took place in Jerusalem. He knew what was taking place. And when he heard the name Jesus Christ, suddenly something happened in his heart. You see, there were lots of people born with the name Jesus, but not everyone was given the name Jesus Christ. The name Jesus means Savior. It literally means Jehovah is salvation. That's why Joseph, when the angel of the Lord visited him, he said these specific words, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The name Jesus means Savior. The title Christ means Messiah. The Anointed One. The Chosen One. You see, this Jesus Christ from Nazareth that died on the cross was not just another man. He wasn't just a carpenter's son from Nazareth. When this lame man heard the name of Jesus Christ, he understood that the disciples were saying, "This is the Messiah. This one who was crucified is the Anointed One. The one who has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies given to the nation of Israel, the one who was promised to come, the one who would bring true freedom to God's people in the full forgiveness of sins, is this Jesus." And today, every soul can be saved by the power of his name. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, our memory verse for this month. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And if you and I are going to be faithful witnesses for the Lord this year and this week, we need to tell other people who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Good way to start a conversation is, who do you think Jesus is? That's an easy way. Who do you think Jesus is? Can I ask you a question after you give them an invitation? Who do you think Jesus is? And as they tell you what they think, then you can show them what the Word of God says. That He is the Savior. He is the Chosen One. He was buried and He rose again in victory over sin, over death and over hell to purchase mankind's salvation, full and free. Brethren, we need to tell others His name. We need to strive and endeavour to be quick to tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, these two, Peter and John, were faithful witnesses.
faithful witnesses. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope for those who, like this poor beggar, are disabled, desperate, and disappointed every day of their lives within the depth of their soul because they do not know the Lord. So let us be prepared witnesses. Amen. Yes. Prepared. Prepared to see the one in need. Isn't it humbling that just one chapter ago, Peter led 3,000 to faith in Jesus Christ by his preaching. And then they go out, and what takes place? They see the one. Just the one. The one in need. The one whom God led them to. The one who called out to them. And yes, he was looking for food. Yes, he was looking for financial help. But brethren, we know the need is the greatest need is the need of their soul. And that's the need we must meet above all others. That's the need that God has called us to tell them about. The precious gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, some of us are looking for a Pentecost. We want to see thousands of souls saved. Praise God that they were. But notice how God led them to how many? One. Just one. And by the way, later tonight we'll see how that one led to thousands coming to Christ as Saviour. The one is important. And God would like to lead you and I to that one this week. So let's be prepared to see them in their need and share the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with them and who He truly is. Well, we've seen the poor beggar. We've seen the prepared witnesses. And let's close by seeing the power of His name. The power of His name. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, Peter said to the lame man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, what an impossible request. Later on in the book of Acts, we're told in chapter 4 that this man was lame not only from his mother's birth, but for over 40 years. That means he was over 40 years old in this condition. That means for at least 40 years. He never could walk. It was impossible. Never once in his life did he experience the freedom of standing up. Never once in his life did he experience the blessing of using his two legs that you and I take for granted every day. Peter asked him and made an impossible request. Why? Because it was impossible for this man to do this. It was impossible. He would need a greater power than himself, would you agree? Now, it was also impossible for these two fishermen to perform this miracle. Why? Because they were just men themselves. But when Peter declared the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, something happened in this lame man's heart. You see, something happened to allow him to stand. What happened? Well, simply, this man put his faith in the name that was declared, knowing whom he is, believing on his name, and the miraculous took place. What a wonderful picture of salvation. You see, all that the Lord Jesus requires is faith in him. Faith. By grace are ye saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, that's why even children can be saved from their sins and have an eternal home in heaven. Why? By simply placing a childlike faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. It is easy for children to be saved. That's why we have Sunday school in this church. It is God's will not only that none should perish, but that children should be saved. Why? Because at a young age, children are used to doing what? Relying upon others. Isn't that true? Relying upon others for what they need. And so the understanding that they need a Saviour to save them is not a inconceivable thought for a young child. They understand they need mum and dad to live. They can't live on their own. They can't do things on their own. So a child
more often than not, has a simple, pure, innocent heart and is willing and more ready to receive the gospel than us adults who think that we don't need anyone. We can stand up on our own 2 feet. We can live our lives as we please and be happy and successful, and then suddenly we face disaster because of our pride. You see, all this man needed to do was put a childlike faith in Jesus Christ as his own personal Saviour, and he experienced the miraculous. But the world teaches us as adults, well, you can stand on your own 2 feet. You don't need a Saviour like Jesus Christ. That's absolute nonsense. That's for children. You can make life work for yourself. Just get out there and do it. And when you fail, well, you need to go to a seminar where you pay $1,000 for a ticket and make the speaker rich, and hopefully something out of that will help you to become a superstar in your own self. You can lift yourself out of your own pit of sin and judgment to come. That's not true. This poor lame man, this poor beggar, put his faith in Christ as Saviour. He put his faith in his name. And notice next the power of his name in verse 7. And Peter, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And by the way, that's what we're doing when we're witnessing. We're just like Peter. We're helping someone spiritually to their feet. We cannot do the miraculous, but yes, we can grab their hand, amen? Yes, we can sit with them and share the gospel. Yes, we can do the most loving thing and reach down and throw out the lifeline and tell them about Jesus Christ. What a wonderful picture of the Saviour. A soul winner, I should say. Peter reaching down. Say, hey, let me grab you. Do you have faith in Christ? Let me help you up. Let me help you to the Saviour. Yes, we cannot save the soul, but the Bible does tell us, he that winneth souls is wise. God wants us to go out and bring that one to the Saviour who can save. That's the picture of Peter helping him up. But notice the picture of his healing. The Bible says that immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, once again, we know who the author of the book of Acts is, don't we? A doctor who would give us details like this to describe what happened in this lame man's legs. Not only did his feet receive strength, but his ankle bones. There must have been some kind of deformed affliction that he was born with that didn't allow his ankles to join together. But miraculously, suddenly, his ankle bones instantly reformed, were set in place. And this man did something that he could not do after 40 years of life upon the earth. He stood. Immediately, he stood. Immediately, he leaped up. Immediately, he received strength. And what another wonderful picture of salvation. You see, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us this: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation from Jesus Christ is instantaneous. It is immediate. It is permanent. It is forever. That is the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that goes against every religion in the world. The instantaneous repentance and faith in Christ as Saviour saves the soul forever and destines that soul to heaven when they die, but reunites them with God through the precious blood and enables that Christian finally to stand on their feet and to do what they could not ever do before, to live a life of joy and blessing, pleasing the Saviour that they now love. You see, this lame man is a wonderful picture of the lost sinner experiencing instantaneous recovery and restoration. And remember, the focus here is not healing. You might be here this morning, you might say, Pastor, but he was physically healed. In order for that to happen, he had to believe on Christ's name. Is that right? The focus is on the one who has the power. The focus is on the proof of the miracle pointing back to the Saviour. God doesn't expect people to flock to churches in order to be healed today. God expects people to put faith in the power of His name to save. That's the point of the miracle. And that's the lesson we learn this morning. The power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is. The Son of God who died for our sins and is risen and is ready to save today. Peter preached this in Acts chapter 2 verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, it is faith in His name that made this man whole. And it is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that will make your soul whole and complete. Let me ask you this morning as we conclude. Have you put your faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior? Have you heard His voice calling you to be saved? Have you heard His cry to be saved from the disease and the sickness of sin? Friend, have you ever seen yourself like this lame man? You see, until you see yourself as a desperately lost sinner, headed for catastrophe, you can't be saved. Unless you realize you're absolutely disabled, unable to come to God, unable to save yourself, you're absolutely desperate and without hope in this life, only then can you repent of your sin and put your faith in the only one who gives us hope and forgives us once and for all. Have you seen your need like this man knew his? Have you repented of your sin? Friend, if you come to Christ today, He won't deny you. He won't cast you out. He has the power to save. Friend, if you have received Jesus Christ the Savior, you'll know it. Amen? Do you believe that this man knew that his legs worked? But he knew much more than that. He knew that Jesus Christ is his Savior, and he leaped and he walked. But if there was just a physical healing, he wouldn't have been praising God. Praising God. That's what he did. And that's the result of someone who gets saved. If you have experienced God's healing of the soul forever, you will praise God for it. You will want to tell others about it. You will rejoice in the Lord in your heart to be a witness for Christ. How do you know whether you're a real Christian? Well, is there any joy in your life for the Lord? On that day that you were saved, was there a change? Was there an eternal change that took place in your soul when you realized that you, like this lame man, were rescued from the catastrophe that you were in, from the desperation that you were in? Now, if there was no joy, if there was no peace, if there was no wonderful realization that you are now saved, you may have just prayed a prayer. You may have just gone through the motions. But if that's you and you realize that, that's okay. You're in the right place. You can call upon Christ today to be saved. You can put your faith once and for all in Him for salvation. And stop trusting your own self to gain God's acceptance and a home in heaven. You can put your faith in Him, my friend. Now, Christian, listen carefully. There's a lesson in here for us. To be a prepared witness like Peter and John. Are you willing to go out this week and notice the one? Are you willing to pray, Lord, lead me to the one that you want me to talk to today? Lead me to the one that I can give a tract to. Lead me to the one person that might listen to the gospel. And whether they do or they don't, I'm going to be faithful to see their need as God sees it. And when I see their need, I'm not going to hesitate. Amen? Because their need is the greatest need, the need of their soul. And I'm going to tell them, as God allows, of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I'm going to declare the power of His name and trust that God has the power to save that soul as they put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm going to trust in the power of His name. Christian, is that you this morning? If it is, let me encourage you to make some decisions during our invitation time. This evening we're going to continue to look at the power of His name. We'll see that this one man, this one miracle, led to over 5,000 others at least that put their faith in Christ the Savior. Let me encourage you to come back tonight.